Blog Talk Radio.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I don't know how to talk like a parent. Don't make me come back there. You see what I mean? It's pretty awful. Try it again. Don't make me come back there. Now that's pretty good. That one kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUsKids, and the Ad Council.
Good morning, and welcome to the second half of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. I'm your host, Joy Keyes, and I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter.com/Joy Keyes, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. And now I am on Instagram, yes, great pictures, and if you tag me in a photo, you could win a prize. As you guys know, I give away books, movie tickets, iTunes downloads, restaurant gift cards, all types of things. So it's for real. You can see people have posted their gifts. It's not a fake out. So I encourage you to follow on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, or check me out on Instagram. Instagram is Saturdays with Joy Keyes. Well, this morning I have a wonderful guest, actress Essence Atkins. She's on a new movie on Up TV that's going to be airing on Sunday night, and I believe she's on the line with us now. Essence, are you there?
I'm here. Good morning, Joy.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for taking time out. I know you're probably on the West Coast.
I am,
in the middle.
Yeah,
so it's really early for you,
so
I appreciate
it. I'm in L.A.
Yeah, you're in L.A.? Okay. So it's pretty early for you, so thank you for waking up. It's about 8:30, I believe, out there. And but this is a great movie about adoption and what a story of a young lady. Her name is Candace Myers and what she's going through. For many of the people in the world who have been adopted, it's a really scary idea to think of going to meet their birth parents. Some people don't want to meet their birth parents.
Yeah. This is true. You know, I think it's a daunting idea to kind of have to confront auspicious beginnings. And I think people who've been thrust into adoption, they always have a curiosity as to why their birth parents gave them up. And so there's a lot of obviously trepidation and as mixed with a certain amount of curiosity that is where kind of this story starts. But really, in the end, it's not necessarily a story about an adopted woman who is curious about her birth parents. I mean, that's the literal translation of the story, but it's really about, you know, what happens when you kind of reach a certain point in your life and you are successful as you kind of strive to be and you still feel like something's missing. And I think that it's a broader reaching story, investigating one's beginnings. It's really kind of about investigating what matters and what's important to you.
Yeah, I think she finds herself in more ways than one in the movie My Other Mother. And you have some wonderful cast members with you, Lynn Whitfield,
yes.
Jasmine Guy, also Greg Allen Williams, Angie Stone.
Yes.
She's hilarious. With
yes.
She's
yes,
the
she
wife
is.
Of the, oh, my God. I just was like, wait a second, is that Angie? Get out of here. Oh, my God. So
yeah, she was,
some
she
funny
was
moments. She was great working with her. So you had a little bit of comedy. It's not all serious. And like you said, the woman is at a certain age. Now, you have a child. Did you think when you were younger that you were going to have children, or is it something that came up later, like you always knew I was going to have kids? What was your story in terms of children?
It's interesting. I think that I always thought that I would be a mother, but I didn't necessarily have a game plan in place. You know, I'm going to get married by this age, and I'm going to have children by this age. And eventually, when I found myself in my mid-30s and still single, you know, I was kind of at a point in my life where I realized, oh, wow, okay, this may not happen. Like, I may not have children, you know, of my own because I knew that I wanted to be married and if I brought a child into the world, I wanted to be happily married. And I didn't know that I would necessarily find that in a timely fashion, because I hadn't had much luck for, you know, happily ever after. Plenty of
right.
relationships, but, you know, I was kind of like, you know, again, in my mid-30s, and at this point where I was like, oh, wow, okay, there's definitely a finite period. I mean, every woman is different in terms of their biological clock and all of that, but I was like, okay, I'm definitely dealing with a finite time period, and I'm not exactly sure what that is, and I don't know if I'm going to, A, meet, B, marry, and C, conceive in this time period. So,
no, exactly.
I really had to make peace with the idea that maybe it wouldn't happen in the way that I imagined it would, and what that meant for me. So that was definitely a point of reckoning in my life, is just kind of coming to a place of acceptance, recognizing what it is I wanted and how I wanted it, but also coming to a place of acceptance that it may not happen in the time period that I've been given. So,
well, you know, in our culture, men are rewarded for having a family and children. And a lot of times in our culture, in order to succeed, that's a great package to have. But for a woman, unfortunately, in our culture, due to childcare issues and juggling household duties, if you will, when a woman, you know, when the woman has a child, it really affects her ability to work and climb that ladder, unless, of course, she's very wealthy and then she has a nanny or something like that. But in terms mm-hmm. of being able to spend time and juggle, our culture, American culture, does not support that. You know, in other cultures, people get time off, paid
right.
time off,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
In Sweden, I know they get like almost a year. And then also the men
mm-hmm.
as well. We always talk about fathers.
Yeah.
What do you think about
yeah.
this issue in our culture? What do you think, Essence?
I mean, it would be a wonderful thing to, for, you know, I'm happily American, and, you know, there are some amazing things about being born into the privilege of the United States, but there are definitely adjustments that I would love to see made in this country, and that's definitely one of them, you know, more of a support for family unit and more of a priority as to the children of this country in terms of raising them in a healthy way as opposed to, you know, dealing with them once they become wayward. You know, we put a lot of funding behind the criminal system in this country, and we don't put nearly, you know, we put a fraction of funding towards the education of this country. So, you know, it would be great, and hopefully we'll continue to support politicians and lawmakers who this is their priority, where, you know, support of the family and of a healthy nucleus is the priority, because that in turn will make a healthier society.
I agree. And also, I think you talk in the film a lot about spirituality. You guys pray. You pray with
mm-hmm.
your sister. The family
mm-hmm.
prays. So religion is an important aspect. How has religion helped you with your career and dealing with the stress of, you know, this acting world, this entertainment world?
Well, you know, spirituality is a huge part of my fundamentals, you know, and kind of nurturing my spirit and prayer, and I follow the Christian faith, so it's been very, you know, crucial for me, not just, you know, in terms of practice, but I also think in terms of, like, just the career that I've had, I've been, you know, I've really been driven in my life to just do good work. And I haven't necessarily carefully plotted, you know, the points along the way. And yet somehow, you know, I find myself on the precipice of almost 3 decades in this business.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I set out for that to be the case, but I think that there's definitely been some and providence along the way for me, divine providence, that's just kind of guided me. And in my 20s, I was definitely a lot more frustrated by the pace of my career. You know, I wanted to be an instant superstar, you know, but it's just much like youth, you know, we want everything we want and we want it quickly. But I guess retrospectively, I'm grateful for more of a tortoise pace because it's had longevity and I haven't, as they say, you know, kind of exploded and burned out and ebbed out. So I feel like my best work is ahead of me. I feel like my best achievements are ahead of me. So that's kind of, you know, that's an inspiring place to be in your life. But, you know, I think that I have a lot more peace because of my spirituality. I have a lot more comfort because of the history that I have. When I look back, you know, it's like I can see the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, you know, so I'm like, okay, I, you know, whenever I find myself in this place of, you know, sometimes where you get frightened or, you know, you become the inner critic gets very loud. You know, I am reminded over the 2 decades plus of work in this business that I'm going to be fine.
Yeah. Now, you got to work with Lynn Whitfield, who's been in the business for quite some time. Did she give you any tips or tricks going forward? What did she say to you?
Well, you know, this is actually my third time working with her. I worked with her before on an independent movie called Act Like You Love Me. She played my mother. And then I also worked with her on Are We There Yet? With Terry Crews. She played my mother on that as well. So this is the third time she's played my mother. She was actually part of the reason that I said yes during this project, because I enjoy working with her so much and I wanted to have a more intense experience, because in the other projects, our time together in terms of scenes together weren't very intense, and I knew that they would be with this project. I adore her. She is an incredible woman, first and foremost. She is just divine and so cool and fun to spend time with, but she's amazing and a master craftsman, and watching her create this character, Mary Jo, and just be so detail-oriented. I mean, you know, it wasn't so much that she sat me down and we had this kind of, you know, meeting of the minds, but just spending time in her presence. You can't help but learn. You can't help but be blown away by her pursuit of excellence. And so I learned a lot just from watching her be her. And she, like I said, she's so fun. And, you know, there are moments definitely when working with her and working with Jasmine Guy, who plays my adopted mother, you know, where I kind of felt like I wanted to pinch myself. Like I'm across from these women who I have admired for so long and who are such incredible talents. You know, I mean, Jasmine not just is an actress, she's a singer, she's a dancer, she's a choreographer, she's a director.
She's a triple threat.
exactly. So, you know, being in scenes and kind of talking about, you know, how we wanted to play the scene and what we wanted to do, and did, you know, just kind of talking shop with them, you know, there's definitely moments where my brain is like, wait, what? These are your peers? Like, somehow you're in the same kind of stratosphere as these women? That's really kind of amazing. I had my fan moments for sure. You know, kind of going back to my room and being like, oh my gosh, I really was like doing it with these amazing women. it was pretty cool.
Now, you also have a love interest. Well, he doesn't start out that way, Kendrick Cross, and he plays your manager. And I also, I like the pace of that, because a lot of women don't pay attention to what's right in front of them. The person is right in front of them, and he's a friend. And I think I have a daughter, and I try to instill in her, the person needs to be your friend. You know, you need to like them. They need to be there on a regular, if you will, not just a booty call. So I think that was really nice. If you don't mind, this might be personal, in terms of your husband, was he your friend? How did he court you, if you will? You don't have to give away too many secrets, but, you know.
The first thing I guess is some people know this, you may not. I met my husband online. I actually met my husband on Match.com, and as I mentioned before, you know, I was in my mid-30s, I was single, And I recognized I did want to get married and I did want to have, you know, a family beyond that if possible. But I also kind of recognized that I needed to date differently. I had dated, most of the people that I had met had been somehow connected to the entertainment industry. And I realized, I was like, you know, I don't think this paradigm works for me. I need to shift. But I didn't really know how to meet people outside of the industry or outside of connected to the industry. So I thought, well, I'll go online. I'll, you know, meet normal guys. I'm not going to go sit in a bar, so I'm going to just go and see, you know, how to meet people that way. But at the same time, because, you know, I have a recognizable face, I thought, okay, well, how am I going to manage that? So I didn't put a picture up. So I had this profile that I wrote with no picture. So, of course, no one contacts you when you don't have a picture because they just assume you're a hunchback. So nobody ever reached out to me with no picture. But what I would do is do these mutual match searches where they kind of cross-reference what you are interested in and what other candidates are interested in, and they cross-correlate them and come up with a percentage of how you, quote-unquote, match up. So I would scroll through these mutual match searches, and I would look at pictures. Of course, the first thing, you know, that I would see would be the picture, and I would scroll. And I actually saw my husband, reached out to him, and we ended up getting together. And our first date, it's funny because I remember, like, thinking, oh, he looks like his picture. He's handsome. He's attractive. But I hated his shirt. Like, I remember, oh, that's his shirt at all.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, I say all this to say that, like, you know, a lot of times it isn't fireworks instantaneously, you know, much like the character Candace Myers. You know, she had a great friend, somebody who cared about her and thought about her and wanted the best for her without any kind of romantic intentions being involved. And for me, even though my husband and I were obviously dating and we were looking at each other from a romantic perspective, we really took our time. We really kind of metered out and waited before any kind of, like, you know, physical interaction was introduced. And we didn't kiss until our eighth date.
Our eighth date.
So, I mean, I really wanted him to get to know him without the complications of being swept off my feet and vice versa. You know, so I think you can have a lot of clarity when you are friends or when you are getting to know someone, just getting to know them without introducing any kind of, like, physicality, because, you know, you can get consumed by, I mean, it's meant to be igniting. You know what I mean? It's meant, a kiss and all that stuff is meant to be seductive and igniting. So if you kind of take that out of the equation, then you can kind of see clearly, do I have anything in common with this person? Can we have a conversation? Are we like-minded? You know, how do we interact with each other without rushing off to the bedroom? So that was definitely a strategy that I implemented with him. And, you know, we were engaged a year from the day that we met, and we got married 7 months later. And actually, in 6 days, we will be celebrating our 5-year wedding anniversary. So,
oh my God. So that is great, because I always, I see that a lot with girlfriends and the long-term relationships that I had. I definitely waited in terms of intimacy. I will agree. It really does help. You know why that person is there. They know why they're there. You get to know them, and I feel more secure, if you will. I mean, they didn't end in marriage. You know, I was engaged once, but it still was better than the other relationships when I was younger, and you rush into that physicality, you know? So I think
it can be very distracting. It can be very distracting, you know, and especially if you have a great physical chemistry, that can kind of, like, perpetuate the relationship that really has no future. You know, you're like, oh, this is great. But, like, beyond when you're in bed together, you're like, I really don't like him. Or he's not really ignoring me. Like, so it's really, it's an interesting distraction that can happen. So I think, you know, in this case, and in probably the cases that you mentioned in your own life, you know, it just, like you said, it gives you a little bit of clarity, and you can really kind of see the person in front of you without being distracted by your libido.
Definitely. Well, I want to encourage the listeners to check out My Other Mother. It's Sunday, September 21st at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Up TV. Great cast, Lynn Whitfield with Essence Atkins, Jasmine Guy. The script is by Karanda McKnight. She's a winner in last year's Up Faith in the Family screenplay competition at the American Black Film Festival. So definitely want to support this wonderful cast, wonderful writer, a great storyline. The whole family can watch it. You can watch it with your kids. You don't have to feel awkward or there's no crazy cursing or anything.
Yeah, you won't have to
horrible.
Have any crazy talks after watching the show. Like,
right, no trauma. You know, or you watch it in one room and your child watches something in another room. You know, that can happen even when they're older. Like, my daughter's 20, and, you know, there's certain things I like. They're great films, but it's like, I shouldn't be watching this with you.
Right.
A little awkward feeling, you know. So now, what is your next project coming up? I noticed that you are working on some films. I don't know if I can mention them. Maybe Sister Code. Are you doing that? Or another Stateside?
I did two independent movies that are, one is about a vet coming back from Iraq and being very traumatized by his experience, and we kind of deal with what he goes through, and I have a lovely role in that, and I enjoyed working on that film. And the other film, Sister Code, I make a cameo in the movie, but I'm playing Eva Marcel, the lovely Eva Marcel's nemesis in that movie, and that was really fun to do and play off of her. She's such a lovely woman and such a sweetheart, and we had a great time kind of going toe-to-toe in that film. And then I'm actually getting ready to go back to the series on BET called Mr. Box Office with Bill Bellamy and Vivica Fox and John Lovitz.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm getting ready to return to that show. So, you know, I've got my plate full. I'm also going to be producing a web series called Black Actress this season. And it actually, I was on it last season, on season one. It's a funny web series about an actress played by Andrea Lewis who's a black actress pursuing a career in this crazy business. And it's just kind of funny anecdotes about what happens to her. She goes on auditions and lives her life. But the show, what I love about it is that it's bookended with an interview before and after with a black actress that you'll recognize. And so I actually participated in season one, and they've asked me to come on as a producer in season two. So I'm really excited about that. We'll be going into pre-production next month, and I'm going to be learning how to produce. So that should be fun for me. I'm just trying to continue to be creative, to be curious, to feed my creativity and to keep learning, you know. And I think no matter what your field is, you know, you find something that you're passionate about, that you love, and you continue to pursue it with excellence and curiosity and continue to mine your gifts, then you'll have longevity in the way that, you know, some of the people that I've worked with have. And that's one of the things I've seen. You know, I've worked with some incredible actors in my lifetime. I've worked with, you know, James Earl Jones and Leslie Uggams and Diane Carroll and Loretta Devine and Lynn Whitfield. And, you know, now what I've seen in these incredible pioneers is just, you know, an ability to keep growing and to keep learning and a curiosity and a kindness. I mean, you know, just gratitude, you know, being
people
being
like
great
that personality. Yeah, people like the kindness. Also, just not kissing someone in the butt, but just having a sense of being humble, I think, is important.
Yeah.
And then I think that allows you, people are like to work with you, and then you'll get more calls. Whereas if you're arrogant or you're angry, you know, and they you deserve such and such, well, you know what, honey? There's a million other people in the world that they can get. So,
I think that kind of behavior is just like a tell, you know, it's like a poker tell of that is about major insecurity, and it's not necessary. I mean, the greats are often very humble and very unassuming and very kind. And it's not, you know, that whole, like, I think it's a misnomer to think that in order to be perceived as great, I have to be a diva. Not necessarily.
Yeah. No, not at all.
You know, one of the greatest you know, actresses of our time, and probably maybe we'll go down in history is Meryl Streep, and she's very much a mom and a wife and kind of a regular woman in her everyday life. You know, it's really in her job that she is magnificent and bigger than life. But, you know,
right.
seeing her in everyday life, she looks pretty normal. She behaves like, you know, pretty normal woman. So.
Regular person. Well, Essence, thank you so much for calling in this morning. I wish you much luck with this movie on Up TV coming on Sunday night, September 21st.
Yes.
7 p.m. Eastern,
tomorrow.
6 p.m. Pacific, tomorrow night. Check it out. It's Essence Atkins, Lynn Whitfield, Jasmine Guy, a lot of wonderful other actors. Support this wonderful film on Up TV. Support the people, so to speak, who are doing great work. Really, really some nice, warm, tight scenes. I mean, people, when you're in a tight scene with another actor and then it's being filmed, it can't be fake. You're going to see that.
No.
And there's a lot of great, tight scenes. The camera's really close, you know, up to the face, you know, above the waist. You can't fake the emotion. These are some great actors. You'll love the film. Check it out, My Other Mother.
Thank you so much,
Essence.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. All right, talk to you soon. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in today. Just got off the phone with Essence Atkins. She's in the film My Other Mother on Up TV. Again, it's tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern. Check her out. She's also on Twitter, Essence Says. She also has a Facebook page. You can check her out there. I'm on Twitter, at Joy Keys, and I'm also on Facebook. Check out Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. And I'm on Instagram. Check me out. Some cool pictures on Instagram. It's Saturdays with Joy Keys. I thank you so much for your support. I hope you have a great Saturday and a wonderful weekend.
I'm Ellie the Mammoth, and my friend Sid the Sloth knows what being a great parent is all about.
I love kids.
It starts with believing you can do it.
I'm responsible, loving, nurturing.
You've got to set a good example.
Hey, no biting. Uh-uh.
And give a whole lot of love.
I love you so much.
And you'll get a whole lot back, too. The rest? Well, that's up to you. Remember, you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.